The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello. We are here. I'm live in my big girl setup. We're going to see how my internet does. It's a big day. It's WWE SmackDown Draft Day. We thank you guys for joining us. It's your post show for April 26th, swinging into May very quickly. We, of course, have a multi-part draft that is taking place in the WWE, piggybacking off of draft season in the NFL. And we got it kicked off tonight, which was the focus of tonight's episode. We had some matches thrown in there, some developments for Backlash, but this was all about what talent is going to what brand. A little less eventful than years past, I feel like. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because when they've gotten too eventful, we've seen it start to backfire. We've seen things not make very much sense. But a fun episode to talk about, so get in your super chats and your Humper chats at humperchats.com. Leave a thumbs up on this video to help people find us in the algorithms. And of course, I'm joined by Alex Cardoza, sporting his Ninja Turtles gear as always. And Sean is here to talk a little bit about some of the news that broke earlier, or the non-news as it might be shaking out to be at the moment. And also our draft picks going to SmackDown and Raw tonight. Alex, we'll start with you to say hello. How you doing over there?
I'm doing excellent. What a not so great draft. I mean, I didn't feel any excitement, I think. I don't know. We'll talk about it as we run through the show.
There wasn't a lot of momentum swings, considering how early in the draft that we are, right? We saw a lot of people kind of stay on their brands. The only thing I had like a complaint about was probably Bron Breakker. They ran this whole multi-week angle, signing him to SmackDown, and he ends up on Raw anyway. But I agree with you. It didn't necessarily inspire a ton of excitement, because a lot of people stayed where they were initially. Mm-hmm. But there were a few things I like to see. Ricochet being drafted early, one of them. I hope there's a creative focus for him moving forward. But Sean, I'll throw it over to you. We'll go through kind of pick by pick here, but what were your thoughts overall? I know you loved the draft episode, so.
I do. I mean, I like draft stuff in general. There were a couple things I wanted to kind of get out of the way. There were several bits of news today, but one was an article on Sportico, which even I had to delete my tweet, because as I went and read through it, I was like, wait, this isn't what this means. And they sort of jumped the gun on some things. There was a listing from like September in a prospectus where Vince and Nick Khan had listed shares. Like, so that listing has happened like quite a while ago from Nick Khan. Like, he still retains his position and all that. The him listing things are, it's a non-story right now. Vince's shares hasn't been sold as of yet. Like, you can list them, but finding a buyer for that many shares is not easy. So I would imagine it's Nick Khan capitalizing off of the high price. Also, what's the fella's name that for Death Rebel that is not with Death Rebel that was in the they posted a video of him getting out of an Uber, and he formerly worked with Death Rebel, but has not for years. I saw that it was Douglas J. Davis. He had a video that was very controversial, and WWE clarified to me that they're not doing business with them. I have been told some of the talent have found out what brands they're going to if they haven't been drafted yet. So they're aware of that. And I've seen that some of them are actually going to stay on the brands that they're on. I know that was a big complaint online, but like you can't just switch everybody or even switch like half the people. Cause I mean, then it's just, if you're just switching everybody, you're just putting the same shows on different nights type of thing. So I didn't really mind that, but yeah, we'll go through the picks. Round one, SmackDown, Bianca Belair and Carmelo Hayes. Raw gets Jey Uso and Seth Rollins. So people watching this may say, why not the Bloodline? Well, that's because Roman Reigns withdrew himself. And I thought that was a great draft storyline because we've seen stuff like that all the time where somebody's draft stock falls. And this caused the Bloodline's draft stock to fall. Round two, it went Randy Orton and Nia Jax to SmackDown. So SmackDown is adding Carmelo Hayes and Nia Jax. Raw gets Braun Breaker and Liv Morgan, to which I say, what was the point of all the Braun Breaker signing with SmackDown stuff, all the Andrade signing with Raw stuff? I guess we'll find out with Jade Cargill, but that seems like a monumental waste, and I'd even brought that up back then. But hey, Braun Breaker on Raw, that's kind of cool. Although I think Braun Breaker could have been like a dark horse, like summer candidate to face Cody Rhodes for like after some mega push. LA Knight and the Bloodline stay on SmackDown. Ricochet and Sheamus stay on Raw. Then AJ Styles stays on SmackDown. Andrade comes to SmackDown. The Alpha Academy, which are all still drafted together, stay on Raw. And then one of the big surprises, Kiana James drafted to Raw. Now, Kiana James, this will make you feel old, debuted after fans came back from the pandemic and debuted on AEW, actually. She worked a bunch of AEW dark matches. So, I mean, that one was a little bit of a surprise, but you know what? It was really cool to see, first off, how much happier the locker room at the PC is for talent today than they were like 8 years ago. Because you'll go back and see like Nia get picked 8 years ago, and there's some of her contemporaries like scoffing at it. Nobody was scoffing at it here. Lexus King was up there smiling, clapping, everything. You love to see it. But yeah, some movement in the draft. Some of the supplemental picks have been told where they are going as well. But yeah, man, I not a whole lot of movement, but still, I think enough to where it shakes things up. I think personally, first off, let's just talk about the picks themselves.
Sure.
Kate, what were your thoughts on them?
I thought they were pretty good. This was a lot of the top talent you would expect. As someone that covers NXT, there are certain things that are really rewarding to see, and Kiana James is certainly one of them. That made me very happy because if you watch on Tuesday nights, you know that it's not always the easiest, most logical creative for Alex and I to watch week over week. But what we do get to see is an incredible amount of growth from some talent that's really putting in a lot of hard work there. Kiana James has really developed quite a bit with everything that she's been given from a character perspective. And she's a lot of fun in the ring. She's kind of sneaky hard in how she hits. And I really like that for her. This was all kind of expected. I felt like Jey Uso might have gone a little bit high considering how many people were on the board here. Didn't mind it, though. Carmelo being a big deal feels really good. Ricochet made me happy to see him go that early because we haven't seen him near a title picture really in a long time. I never feel like he's gotten the due that he deserves. I'm hoping that's symptomatic of him being built into some storylines here that he went this high in the draft because I just think the world of the guy. I think he... If I was a little kid and I saw that guy, I would be like, there's a superhero on my screen right now. And it's awesome. He has that transitional strength with a lot of his moves too. Not just the high flying stuff and the quickness. Like he'll just throw a suplex in real quick to a really big dude. So I was happy to see him go earlier. I'm interested to see who else in NXT gets called up. But yeah, this was
There it goes.
If you guys went to Bet Online, you could have
AG.
Sean and I odds, had the over. We had the over.
The odds were -50,000 that her internet would give out. Thanks to our great friends at Bet Online AG. Look at it.
There it is.
Next week, I'm going to set the betting odds for her having a mic that isn't her earbuds for +7,500. It won't happen. Oh, Oh, poor Kate.
I sent her some gear, so all she has to do is put it on.
Just put it up, Kate. Yeah,
just put it up, Kate.
Hopefully you sent her a router, too.
She needs the
antenna gimmicks that they've started to sell with all the PCs. I mean, that might sincerely be a thing that's wrong. Like, that might actually be a thing she needs.
She does. She might need bunny ears again. She might need to revert backwards in time. Damn, that would just...
So what were your thoughts on the draft picks in which we saw?
I'm not up to date with a lot of the, like, yes, I am up to date with the NXT people because I do watch the show occasionally, but I definitely watch the pay-per-views. So I can't wait to see what Monday will bring. I'm really looking forward to Monday because, you know, it's a 3-hour show. So we're going to see a lot of names move. And I'm sure you'll probably get all the scoops this weekend, which you're probably going to put up on FIFO Select. The best $5 in the industry. I'm just going to plug that in there. but yeah, I'm excited to see what new talent shows up. I'm all about the fresh blood and the kids coming up and kind of taking over and seeing what they're going to do in the roster with the main roster. Yeah.
So again, they're going to announce some of the additional picks on like some sort of social media post show of some sort. Man, I'm sorry, I just got distracted by the Bengals selecting a wide receiver just like out of nowhere that wasn't even on the radar. Like very, very shocking here. But
I was doing. Did you at least play the Bet Online ad while I was gone? I heard that on my way out.
We did not. We set betting odds for your internet to work and if you would use an actual mic next week.
It depends on the internet in here, to be honest. I have an actual mic right now.
Do you need, well, you're not using it right now.
I am too.
No, you're not. You're 100% not. And if it is, if you are, you need to bring it closer to you.
Yeah, it sounds like it's here at my house.
How's that? Is that better?
Oh my gosh, it's way better.
Okay, well, there you go. See, we're going to make it work, guys.
You can't use your mic like this. It's not how it works.
I'm not kidding. I moved it maybe 3 inches.
I know that makes a big difference.
Well, no,
to our viewers, 3 inches is a lot, okay?
Okay. It's still big to me, damn it.
On air, how do I sound? Do I sound okay? Nobody said I needed blue chew.
We were worried about your connection. That's it.
Rude. I'm talking to Belkin
to see if they can send you a router.
She's on that People PC internet. Do you remember that? It was $5 a month.
Oh my God. I remember those commercials.
Listen, Net Zero.
My grandmother, bless her heart. So when I lived with her, we got People PC internet. It was dial up internet. And I mean, in the 2000s, we still had dial up internet. And it just so happened that right after our internet got installed, all the phone lines in the town went down. She thought it was because we got the internet.
Well,
she thought that's, I mean, funny enough, they did. They like kept charging her for years after they went out of business and I had to like threaten to sue them. Oh wow. Yeah. They had to give her like hundreds of dollars back. Lupongi Vice says every inch matters.
It's true.
Pop.
Literally, in some cases.
Pop. I had web TV as well. I had web TV back in the day.
Yeah.
At least we're getting super chats.
If you want to move your mic 5 inches, I don't even know who the sponsors are today. I really don't.
Hey, Kate, we're just trying to make it bigger here.
I get it.
If Schultz is 5 inches, it's 5 inches.
So, also, CM Punk cut a promo after WWE SmackDown for the live crowd. I really don't know why, if you have him there, you don't just like have him announce a pick or cut a promo or something. I'll never get it. I'll never understand it. I'll never be able to make sense of all that, but... Yeah.
It's like when they had John Cena back and they were like, you're going to work some dark matches. We were like, why would you do that? Yeah, just put him on television. Feels like it makes more sense.
Yeah. Well, also, Interesting, some of the faces that were and weren't at the PC. Corey Brennan reported Baron Corbin wasn't there. However, Wendy Chu was there. I took her in my mock draft today.
I know you snubbed Dijak.
I did. It worked too, didn't it? Didn't it work? I said in my mock draft, I want this guy on my team, but what I want more is the tweet when I don't pick him. And then, listen.
Yep.
Ah, got him.
Totally did. He didn't even ratio you.
I just see this great scenario of Wendy Chu entering the Royal Rumble at number 3 and sleeping until the end. And then almost winning it. Oh man, I thought it would be really, really a cool approach. But I think that she would be good there. I don't think Kiana James knew she was going to be picked. At least that's what Corey's telling me. Mm. So I had reported today. Talent didn't know as of this afternoon.
Sure.
So
we did get a video package for her though. So
yes, it was a very good one too.
It was. We've seen the production efforts that have been on the main roster trickling down into NXT week over week, and it's really been helping the product. That one is kind of more in the vein of what I prefer to see rather than some of the after school special feeling stuff that we get on that brand.
Yes. It's
refreshing to see the more kind of modern takes on things, but some good stuff. Good stuff in this draft.
They had it ready earlier this week and didn't tell her. That's pretty funny. Guys, FightfulSelect.com. We're going to have a lot of details on there. Kim Gray saying, is Cody okay? I'm going to find out. When do we get the level up and speed draft picks? Well, listen. Who are our sponsors tonight?
Bet Online and Nord.
Okay, never mind then.
I know where you were going with that, but yeah, well played.
You knew what I was doing there. The winner of speed is is determined now. They had the finals of that on the taping. Sorry, I'm getting very distracted here. So I'm gonna hit the bricks. Thank you guys very much. I'm going to work on a lot of this draft stuff. We got scoops on Fightful Select all weekend. I'm also over on the Discord all the time hanging out. Guys, we have now over 15,000 paid and free subscribers total. So I just want to say thank you all. I mean, a good third of you guys are free subscribers, but you know what? We appreciate all of you. And occasionally we have some free posts over there. Some notes from the show in which I did not attend, even though it was in Cincinnati. They had Gable versus Sheamus. They had the speed finals, and they have Balor and JD versus Awesome Truth on there as well. But catch you guys later.
Thank you.
Take care, brother.
Have a good night. So that about covered kind of the draft aspects of this. What we didn't really get into, or maybe you did while my internet was crying again, crying a river, if you will, is what your hopes maybe are for Monday. I'm assuming Ilya Dragunov is going up. I want him to be drafted to whichever brand Gunther ends up on. That, I think, is a big one. It could be a huge swing and a miss if they don't do that, especially with Imperium breaking up. I think there are a lot of opportunities to make a fun little tag feud out of that until Gunther is maybe ready. But Alex Pulaski is joining us. Hi, Alex.
Wow, we have a star-studded draft night tonight here.
We're drafting Alex Pulaski to the SmackDown post show.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to start my show on FIFA Select really soon, so I'm just trying to siphon off as many of your viewers as possible.
Hey! Stop drafting our viewers away!
Yeah, that's what I do here. Also, I'm adamant about this. Karrion Kross is allowed to be on TV once a week. I'm sorry. That is a personal rule that I have. You are actively on NXT saying black and gold never dies.
Yeah.
You can't also be on SmackDown attacking people. Just whether we're drafted Raw or SmackDown, you're not. You're on NXT. You have a whole friggin' catchphrase. Your boys have a tag team title match next Tuesday.
You're representative of an era, they decided. Like, era. You can't just, yeah, like they had this whole black and gold thing.
If you're on NXT, you're on NXT. If you're not on NXT, you're not on NXT. Pick one of the things. That goes for everybody. I'm looking at you too, Natty. Everybody has to be on one thing or another. I'm sorry. The brand split has to be hard and fast. And if you need to be hard and fast, BlueChew.com.
Come on. That's like the third segue for BlueChew that we've had so far. She's had a hard time
with her internet. And if you're having a hard time.
We don't have them tonight, okay? Don't have them. Otherwise, I would have played the ad by now. But I agree with you. I hope that the draft creates some brand clarity around who is on what brand. We need that. I think it would be really helpful and important. It would also keep a lot of the confusion of who's working heel and who's working face in what divisions and where cleaned up. If someone's a free agent, even though that's not what a free agent is, like if you're going to go with your WWE definition of a free agent and they're allowed to work across all brands, fine. But you have to stipulate that, because then otherwise what's the point of having the free agents, right? Mm-hmm. But Alex, we cover Tuesday nights, yeah, much to our dismay sometimes. But one thing that we do love to see is when talent gets to shine and grow. Kiana James getting called up in this. Yep. I think that you wanted to say, we'll talk more extensively about it on Tuesday, but she was kind of the biggest surprise in all this. So I thought I'd get your thoughts before you steal all my viewers and head over.
I think that, and I said this on the show, that if they're not going to put a title on her, she's done everything she could possibly do in NXT.
Agreed.
She's has some of the longest tenure there of all the women. She's got two great finishing moves. So like, you know, I mean, whichever one she chooses to use for real, on the main roster would be great. They can get away from the, I am a high powered businesswoman who also wrestles. Just have her be a wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, you can be like, hey, I got my PhD in finance or something, whatever. You can get a doctorate in finance, whatever. But I've decided that I'm going to use my head for the numbers to win in the ring. But she doesn't have to, they have to like travel from the boardroom to the wrestling ring, because we're not eight. So we don't need people to have occupations outside the ring. You know what I mean?
It was a
better, than that, I think she's great.
Yeah, a better produced vignette for sure, but we can lean into her because she's also she's real good in the ring and she hits like a ton of bricks. So she doesn't really need like anything too gimmicky to compensate for anything. So I'm looking forward to seeing what work she does on the main roster. I'm interested to see where she kind of enters the picture. She would be someone that could have a lot of fun in a tag team as well if they end up calling someone else up for her to pair with, or they utilize someone who's already on the main roster in a tag, or like as a heavy, because she hits hard. So I think it could be a fun thing, but get on over to Fightful Select. Steal all our viewers.
I will. Depending on when Sonya Deville comes back, I think her and Sonya would be really great together. Carmelo Hayes low-key riding a four-match losing streak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get that turned around pretty quick if he's like a tippy-top draft pick who's now riding a four-match losing streak. Yeah, he lost to Cody. Yeah, he lost twice to Trick Williams, but he also lost to Tony D'Angelo before that. And like, I mean,
that's fair.
At this point, we should get this boy turned around. The problem is like, I don't know if he's in line to get the U.S. title from Logan Paul. So I don't know what we're doing with him. What's his storyline coming up? This is the big deal. Call him up, but have something ready for him. Don't call him up and Cameron Grimes them onto the shelf. Don't do that, because Carmelo's too good for that. But I would have said Cameron Grimes was too good for that, too.
Sure.
So
any wrestler that's TV ready to millions of people is probably too good for, we called you up with no real plan, but then there's like the upper echelon of that. Right. And Carmelo certainly fits into that. He is a future WrestleMania main eventer in the opinion of a lot of people. I'm one of those people. I think Alex, you're probably one of those people that thinks that's the case. So some good stuff of him getting called up here. I like that he challenge for the title immediately, but you're right. Let's get him some W's. Let's make him feel like a star.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to go to Five of Select now and say mean things about Karrion Kross.
Oh. If you want to hear Alex say mean things about Karrion Kross or whatever, head over to FightfulSelect.com. He'll be kicking off his show there, which is normally a Rampage watch along. Rampage getting tossed around by these playoff schedules, but you can still catch that episode over there. I'll be back there for Collision tomorrow. Yep.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Be well, my friend.
I guess we should get into our review at some point here, Alex.
Sometime tonight.
Let's dive in. Like we said, not a ton of movement, but some movement. And I'm excited. I'm excited for this night is always fun. It's always the payoff that I have an issue with more than the actual night itself. Like we get all of these things that get kind of tossed around. So I'm excited to see what happens on Monday because I'm hoping there's a little bit, a little bit more action. But we talked about it a little bit already, but of note, Paul Heyman does open the show here and says that Roman Reigns isn't going to be back in the immediate future, so he doesn't want to hog that number one spot, and he withdraws his eligibility. I thought that was a really fun idea. And I like that it wove its way into a story with the rest of the blood.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like Sean said, kind of has your draft stock plummet a little bit here. If you're a fan of the movie Draft Day, it Bo Callahan's you is what it does. But what did you think of kind of that aspect of it opening the show and also what it led to later in the night for the collective of the Bloodline?
Yeah, I kind of when before the show even started, I kind of had a feeling that he was going to get his name out of this. I don't know how they were going to get there or how they were going to tell that story. But I had a feeling like I don't think Roman's going to be a part of this. Like it's going to feel, first of all, he's a megastar now. And whenever he decides to come back into the ring, it's going to be a very big, meaningful match. So for him to be that type of person, like a John Cena, that it's kind of like a roaming free agent to just do whatever he wants, I think it was fine with me, you know. And the way the Bloodline is going, what are they, just two right now? So, you know,
right now it's the two of them and Heyman. So it's gonna be interesting to see what happens.
And Heyman just feels like every Friday night he's on his way out.
Yeah, it feels like we're getting closer and closer, right? That relationship getting more tense. And we'll talk about that later in the show, but I liked that. Like, I appreciated that there was something that was storyline based around the draft that was more than you get called to this or that brand.
Yes.
So good way to open the show. And also just in general, I'm liking this less cartoonish, more character based Paul Heyman. Yes. He's still exaggerative sometimes. But it got so, as it should have, as the situation called for, such ass kissing with the tribal chief stuff. Mm-hmm. But I like this more grounded version.
I agree.
So good stuff there. We then cut to the performance center, which was nice just to show. I always love that part of this. There's some really special organic moments that surfaced from these call-ups at the performance center. I remember when Alexa Bliss in particular got called up. There, I think she was very genuinely shocked because she couldn't even like get through what she was saying. I love that. I love when it feels like we're getting authentic reactions, whether they are or not. I like it when it feels that way. So nice to see them cutting to that. I also liked that the war rooms looked like NFL draft war rooms and that they were nothing. Like, they're just conference rooms. Whenever we say war room, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but there was definitely like a time when those CGI graphics were in the war rooms. I was like, can we just not make it that? Can it be what drafts actually are, which is a bunch of nerds with computers and papers around? So overall, just like the production of how that went, I thought was nice. What did you think of kind of these cutaway shots to the performance center, the war rooms? It kind of felt inspired by the NFL draft, and I like when we pull from real world stuff.
Sure. Yeah. The you know, just being able to see the entire roster at NXT was really nice. I could have done away with the war rooms. They looked very gimmicky and very cartoonish with the over exaggerated, you know, oh my God, who picked who?
That's and war rooms in the NFL though,
the
man.
The person running to the board and oh God, I can't believe it. That's listen, I just watched the Dallas Cowboys war room. It looks nothing like that. Oh, okay.
Some of them are. Tony Khan was in there with a neck brace.
I don't even want to watch him. I don't want to watch that either. Yeah. Like, get out of here with that stuff.
Whose dog was it? I can't remember. There was a dog in the war room last year. I like it when we get a little cheesy about it, but better than having like a CGI version of some other Fox character being in there was my.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah, the Fox robot being in there. God.
Yeah, we didn't need. Didn't need that. So we open past that with a contract signing. So a lot of time getting to the first match here, as expected. I did not expect a lot of in-ring today. I didn't have my stopwatch out for all the whiners. Thought about it because I thought it would have been very funny. But
can you make that into a Friday segment? Just have your stopwatch out for us.
I should. Just click. That's just great. Click on everything. But Corey Graves facilitates this contract signing, saying that other people are doing other busy things on draft night. And we basically get AJ entering. That remix is terrible. I'm sorry. It's bad. Like, these Death Rebel songs are bad. They're bad. Like, asshole producer aside, with the news that we heard earlier today, these songs are bad. This remix is bad. They're bad. And then we get Cody's entrance. He comes out to the big, whoa, as always. Whoa. And we get AJ saying that his win kind of restored his phenomenalness when he beat LA Knight to earn this. I love that he talks about that they're two Georgia boys that are going to mix it up for the world title. Big emphasis on the fact that these are two established veterans in the business that haven't touched before, which I liked the emphasis on that as well. AJ also pushing that these are two guys that had to prove themselves outside of WWE before coming here. We get a Dusty Rhodes mention for the 9 millionth time in the past 3 years. But he does say that Dusty taught him how to carry himself and what it's like to have the weight of a champion on you. And he's going to find out if Cody can carry that at Backlash. And then Cody kind of retorts by saying, you can't walk into any wrestling locker room and not hear about people having respect for AJ Styles. He is one of the most respected veterans wrestlers in this business of all time. But he says he's keeping the title and or that keeping the title is even harder than winning it. And also kind of reiterates that these two have never touched before and that this is not a dream match for him. It's a must win. And AJ says, it was great seeing you finish the story, Cody, but it's ending at Backlash. So pretty standard stuff, but they did a good job building layers into a story that's kind of coming together very quickly. I like that they mentioned that they haven't touched before. I like that they both mentioned that they're two Georgia boys going after this. So some good stuff there. And I really liked AJ saying, like, we both had to build ourselves outside of WWE to come here, and now we're fighting for the title. That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. So what were your thoughts on our contract signing? It felt kind of standard, but I did like that they shaded in some of the colors of this match.
Yeah, you just mentioned it. Very vanilla. It wasn't... When he started going to the whole Dusty thing, I'm like, come on, can we just do a godforsaken promo without mentioning his dad or whatever? Like, I understand he was a legend. I understand he did the things that he did in the business. But it kind of seems like that's what they're just hanging their head on all the time when it comes to a promo. And let's move on from this. Let's talk about how badly I want to kick your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I want to hear. But like you just said it. Other than that, like, it didn't blow me back or anything, because at the end of the day, I know that they're going to give me a good match. I am looking forward to seeing a physical battle between them, but I am not thinking of Cody losing it. So right now I'm just looking forward to just seeing them beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, that kind of early defense has that inevitability of that this guy's probably going to win. So that always tempers it for sure. But I'm with you. We're very aware of Dusty's legacy and Cody. It is now at the point where it's preventing me from investing in Cody Rhodes because it's like we always go to my dad. Let's Daddy. Go to Cody. I want to hear more about this guy and who he is. And now that he has the title, how he's going to behave and what he's going to do with it. So we got some love from Bad Robot, who's just the nicest Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons. He thought I was going to say Roomba, but I switched it up on him saying, hello, favorite Bo show. I'm hoping the draft balances the women's divisions. SmackDown has had much more star power. The Carlito reveal, what a twist. I'm shocked and appalled, he says. Yeah, I think we might have seen that one coming a little bit. We're going to go through a couple more super chats here. When do we get level up and speed draft picks? We do not. Does NXT not get any draft picks, just their talent getting picked up? I remember reading reports of them now being considered a third and equal brand. People are going to get drafted to NXT. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if it's working its way into the NXT episode. Maybe Corey Brennan, if he's still in the chat, can tell us. But I think he might have gone to bed, which God bless him. It's like 3:45 his time, so he should. But I do know that they're not being like assigned to SmackDown. My guess is they're probably getting like a supplementary, like those supplemental picks or the compensatory picks. They'll probably be where SmackDown picks up some of these guys, but they are getting drafted there and they will be assigned to work there. Corey also told us on Tuesday that it is going to be people that aren't being featured, like lower card guys who need stuff to do. And we saw Cedric get squashed later in this episode. He's someone. Yeah. They built out these vignettes with Ashanti the Adonis. They never did anything with them. Put them as a tag team in NXT then. Let these people work. Let them do something. So I think that is a very good and healthy thing. It adds some excitement to the NXT product. It keeps people from being on the bench too long. So some good stuff there.
I'd say keep your eye out on everything.
Yeah, there's plenty media wise
for WWE because they're gonna be sneaky. They did it last year, and this year they're gonna be ultra sneaky.
Well, it's also how the actual NFL draft works, right? Like we don't really pay attention until round 6 and 7 and compensatory picks and all that stuff. So keep your ear to the ground for stuff that might be off your like top picks radar.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Miller is saying, wouldn't be surprised if Ricochet is the speed champ. I think that wraps up. I don't know who won. I have not been paying attention. I do my best. It's hard for me to keep up with speed and level up in main event. Sean watches main event like religiously, so God bless him. But we're going to keep moving along. Keep getting those super chats and those humper chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video if you would be so kind to us. Sean was on here earlier if you wanted to get his thoughts on the draft and also said that we're going to have some stuff coming to Fightful Select. He also kind of debunked what happened earlier today with Nick Khan putting up his shares for sale, Vince McMahon putting up his shares for sale. They've been up for sale. Getting someone to actually buy them is a different story. Sure. So that was an article from Sportico that was kind of much to do about nothing. So, Luis says he knows who won. Oh, the finals are Wednesday at noon. So there you go. If 3-minute matches are your thing. There you go. I'm a technical wrestling girl. I'm the opposite of that. I'm like, give me long, worked over stories.
If 3 minutes is your thing, I got something for you.
Gotta get on the Blue Chew situation. But me, Norma, saying, stop, partners. I hosted an NFL Draft Meat Fest tonight. Should I watch SmackDown or stay here and be silly? We're always going to tell you to stay here and be silly. But
stay here. You don't want to watch SmackDown.
It was mostly the draft. So
yeah.
Like, there were some matches, but everybody's getting brand reset, so we're not building out a ton of stories.
Shout out to the guy who I randomly occasionally get into Twitter beef with, Bully Ray, in the SmackDown.
Oh, we will talk about him and D-Von, because they were
in the SmackDown war room, so really nice to see him there, you know.
That's right. Oh, Astrid's in the chat. What's up, Astrid? We love Astrid.
Yeah, hello.
We love Astrid here, but we move right along past our contract signing here into your first picks of the draft, read by Cody and Triple H. At number one, we select Bianca Belair. I love that. I love that a woman went number one. I love that she's considered the most important person on a brand. That made me very, very happy. She is obviously a megastar. Feels like she's headed toward being a tag team champion. She was one of the most prevalent, most heavily featured women and champions over the past 3 years. So very nice to see her going at number one. She absolutely deserves it. I'm extremely happy for her. Very, very solid pick there. And then Raw, with the number two pick overall, but their first pick against Jey Uso, which I didn't really know how I felt about. We get to Seth Rollins after this. But with Drew McIntyre being out there, I think CM Punk is not eligible. But there seems like Gunther having that incredibly successful reign, like he hasn't held a title except for that tag title for like 9 days, right, on Raw. So there are some people I probably would have put ahead of him. But Bloodline continues to be hot. Jey Uso continues to be a top babyface. Not a bad call there. What did you think about Bianca and Jey specifically?
I'm happy to see them, you know, being utilized like this. They look like a very, very powerful team being put together. I mean, they tower over the Kabuki Warriors.
They do.
Like, it looks,
Jade's not eligible yet. She's eligible for Monday. So assuming she's going to be there,
right,
show up tonight, but Bianca getting picked here, you can kind of see the handwriting on the wall. And they made such a big deal about Jade getting signed. If they did what they did with Braun, that would be very frustrating.
I'll see. Well, you know, I'll see where they're going with this. Like, she could very well stay on SmackDown. She just literally signed with them like a week ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're hoping that she stays there. But yeah, these two women are going to kill it. I mean, if they decide to keep them together and to win the tag team titles, I don't know who would take it away from them, because they are just big, bad women.
Man,
and I love big, like, bad women.
If it
these
was
women Shayna, are big.
Shayna and Zoe, I think, would be a really, really good call to be the ones to eventually dethrone them. But they have not been pushed or featured, which is kind of surprising because Triple H loves Shayna Baszler so much. So,
and you know, that would be the right pick. And I'll tell you why, because they're physical.
Yeah. They're
so what other way are you going to be going up against two women that not only are tall and powerful the way that these two are? You're going to knock them at the knees. So you're going to get these two really badass women who are going to go in there and they're going to whip your ass. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're scrappy. There's no other way to go about it. And that's the only way they're going to win that match.
For sure. I'm with you. I'm a technical gal. So doesn't matter how tall you are. If you're on your knees, if you're on the mat, doesn't matter how tall you are. If you have an arm, someone can break it, right?
Sure.
That's why I love technical wrestling so much. And the two of them being punishing and technical.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And then in our next picks, we get Carmelo Hayes going to SmackDown. He's number three overall, number two for SmackDown. And Raw's second pick at number four overall is Seth Rollins. So Carmelo going to SmackDown, we'll talk about him immediately challenging in a second. And Seth staying on Raw, not really a surprise there. And also kind of telegraphs like, okay, CM Punk's probably going to stay on Raw then because he's got issues with Drew McIntyre. He's got issues with Seth Rollins when they're both healthy. They'll probably end up there. But let's talk about Carmelo first. Very excited for Carmelo to be on SmackDown. My cousin who's in the chat, first time seeing Carmelo Hayes, I think, or one of the first times in the main event, said that guy's a star. And he absolutely is. He's been a standout on the NXT brand. He won the North American title. He won the world title there. He definitely has a Shawn Michaels influence to him. He can do it all. He can work face. He can work heel. I personally like him better as a heel, but that's just a matter of taste. Very good in the ring. Great storyteller. A lot of upside. Future WrestleMania main eventer for sure. Absolutely 100% in on this guy. Your thoughts on Carmelo Hayes here?
I've always said it since the first time that I watched him on NXT. We kind of spoke a little bit about him on here as well. I think that he is an insane talent. The future, I don't know what the future holds for him because he's kind of on the smaller side. He reminds me of the old school Eddie Guerreros of the world where, you know, and someone else, you know, that barely gets mentioned, Chris Benoit, right? He was a smaller guy too. So those are the types that like are going to have to really be, and I use the word scrappy, like they're going to have to really push themselves on to someone. Like he stands in the ring with, like we saw with Cody Rhodes.
you know, he put up a good fight, but Cody, you could tell he just kind of like looks over him, you know?
For sure. And I think that's what some people were nervous about with Bron Breakker, is he was like one of the biggest dudes in NXT, but you get to the main roster, you realize that guy's about 5'10". Kind of doesn't matter when he has a spear like we saw tonight, but definitely he was kind of like a bigger dude in NXT, and then he gets to the main roster and that gets equalized pretty quickly. But guys, some good stuff heading into Backlash, some good stuff in wrestling. We came off of a hot AEW Dynasty pay-per-view, but man, there's a lot of pay-per-views and they are picking the pockets of all y'all. There is a way to save a little money, and it's to maybe relocate to some other places, to head on over to Lithuania. But if you don't want to buy a plane ticket, NordVPN's gotcha.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
VPN, great supporter of us. We ask that you support them too. Hit them up on social media. Let them know you found out about them through us. They legitimately are one of our biggest savings when you use the code FIFO. They legitimately are the best VPN in the game. We stand by them. They stand by us, but their service has been impeccable, and so has their support of our show. So please head over to NordVPN.com and subscribe if you need a VPN. And even if you don't, let us know. Let them know. Let them know you found out about them through Fightful. We always appreciate it, and it goes a long way for us. But so after these draft picks, we get Carmelo there live, which is kind of funny because everyone's at the Performance Center, right? But he knew. He knew he was going up. We get a Whoop That Trick chant. So people are paying attention to the NXT product because that was an ongoing feud there. But he says he's the hottest star going, and he's heard that Cody has said, if you come for the king, you best not miss. He says Melo shoots, and he don't miss. That was kind of his catchphrase in NXT if you weren't watching the product. And as a first-round draft pick, he doesn't think of a better way that he can shoot his shot than against Cody Rhodes tonight. Cody kind of plays with him a little bit and says, what if I don't have my gear? What if I can't do this? And then he says, nah, I got my gear. I'll see you in the main event of the show. So some good stuff there. That was another part of this episode, was we had an emptier card tonight because things developed within the episode that had draft implications, which they don't usually do in the past. So I really like that that was a piece of it. We see Nia get drafted later, spoiler alert, as she immediately jumps into a storyline. So some good stuff with the urgency around it. But yeah, anything you want to comment on? That was mostly just setting up what happened later tonight.
No. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth.
That's it. Not a lot to it there, but not a lot to this match either. I love me the LWO. I love me some Legato. Holy crap, it's time for them to face other people. I hope this draft lets us move on from this story. Jeez. But there was more to resolve here, right? I'm kind of sick of seeing these guys only fight each other, but we did have to find out just who attacked Dragon Lee.
I would have never figured it was who you say it's going to be, by
it's
the way.
Exactly who you think it is, but this match is like 5.5 minutes long. There's not a lot to it. Fun ending when we get Lee tagging in, Ray hitting the 619, and him hitting the Project Dragon for the panic. I liked that tandem offense on a finisher. This did feel like maybe it got shortened down from these opening segments because the match pacing was just a little bit weird. It opened in a way that you don't normally see open matches open. Like the pace really got weird. But the post-match is really what happens with the story here, where Santos Escobar says, I might be a few things, but I ain't a liar. And he, after weeks, had Electra Lopez finally obtaining the security footage. Feels like that shouldn't take multiple weeks. Feels like that should take like a day. But we see Carlito attacking Dragon Lee. I, for one, am floored. I'm ready to see these teams move on from each other. The draft is a great possibility to do that, right? But this was very predictable. And yeah, we've seen these guys working the fight 'em ups a lot of times before here. Ready to move on from this. But I also want things to be resolved, right? Like, it's better that these things get resolved than forgotten about, because that's more sound storytelling. So I'm always in favor of that. Your thoughts on our LWO Legado match and story?
I want them to expand. I want them to fight other people. I want them to chase belts. I want them. I need something, because if for the last couple of weeks, if it's gone stale as F, like, there's no more push, and there was something going on there. Everything was, it looked like there was something being built up, you know, and something great was going to happen with Escobar and the group, and the LWO kind of was going to go their own way and kind of do things on their own, you know?
Sure.
And here we are. And also the whole Carlitos thing, like, it was literally served in a platter for us day one with the way he was acting. I mean,
well, and I felt like there was a possibility of Andrade, but then Andrade moved on to something else completely.
Yeah.
Of course it wasn't Andrade. Like, they teed it up for that, and then Andrade was like, JK, I'm jumping into this other storyline immediately. So sure, it was extremely obvious who it was. Like,
kudos
there was
to him, no, by the way, just playing it out. Like, but the minute he just had that face, like, or he was happens to just show up and wants to be part of the match, and they say, yeah, well, you know, he's gonna join in with me or whatever. He's like, oh, okay. You kind of just like, damn it, you tipped the hat, and I didn't want you to tip the hat, but it is what it is. The man you stabbed John Cena with a knife in the back.
Yeah, exactly. I said it a few times. It kind of feels like this Carlito return was a little bit of a bust for me. They haven't done a lot with him. He hasn't looked great in the ring. So it's been kind of a bummer, but yeah, I'm glad that they got this done. So hopefully we can just move on to something else. Ready for that, but I'll tell you what I'm ready for. This Bayley championship run. I love how logical she always is. I love that we just get to root for her. I love everything Bayley's doing, but we have Aldis in the back talking to Miss Tiffy Time, and he says that he was going to send her to the back of the line for a championship shot, but Bayley is the one who comes in here, and she says, ding dong, hello, which I love. The callback to Ding Dong Hello, it's one of my favorite things that happened in wrestling, much less during the pandemic. It was my favorite. She says that she's the one who had this brilliant idea. And I love that she went to Nick Aldis about it and Aldis approved it, like, just logical things in management. But if Naomi wins, she'll get the title shot that she deserved from the beginning. And if Tiffy wins, she's going to get taught a lesson about what happens when you met with the chant. So I love that we built in this extra stipulation. We're paying off what happened. Nice piece of storytelling here. And I love that we get to see Bayley be a smart baby face. We had so many dumb baby faces for so long. Now we're getting this refreshed thing of faces that want to make moves, that are confident, that have friends, that see turns coming. Very, very refreshing. Love this from Bayley. I'm a Bayley stan though. Like, I'm always team Bayley. So what did you think of this? Are you with me and liking that we're getting some logic here, or are you kind of not into this?
And it's also a different team and a different group of leading the way. So, you know, gone are the days of feeling like anything could happen because you weren't paying attention or you didn't know who was your fan and who wasn't. These, you know, Bayley sounds, looks, and feels like she understands what's going on around her, who to trust, who not to talk to. You know, the way that she talks about Naomi when she's sitting there on the desk, how much she missed her. Like, there's so much backstory being told now and how many different things, like, she's keeping her eye open against who's around her, right? So I think Bayley in this new we haven't heard, did we hear New Era this tonight?
Because I don't think we did. I think maybe we used up. Wow, on
ladies and gentlemen, I am seeing New Era for the first time tonight. In this new era of WWE, Bayley is the perfect women's champion to go out there and represent.
She really is. I always say that to me, she's one of the most selfless competitors I've ever seen as far as making your opponent look great, as far as on promos, giving you everything you could possibly want to work with. She's excellent, and I love her as champion and the story that we got to get there. I'm very happy that she had maybe my favorite match of all of WrestleMania, too. I thought her and Io had an unbelievable match. But we do have a Humper Chat that came in from Old Timer who said, just don't get the draft at all. Why ineligibles? Random reasoning behind who is and isn't in the pool just seems like a waste of time. Rob would rather have Jay than anyone. I'm newly back to watching. Please make it all make sense. So, I agree with you that Jay went too early. He hasn't been a champion. You have other champions that are newly dethroned that you would logically want more. He is main event Jey Uso. The Bloodline is still one of the hottest stories. I get for kayfabe reasons-ish why they did it, but I would have had him going back a little bit later. I think that might have been to set up the fact that the Bloodline went late, right? So it's how did Jey go so early when the Bloodline went so late? So that one feeds into storytelling. Roman being ineligible, he withdrew himself. I think part of that is to play into the fact that he lost the title. The Bloodline moved on without him. He's not going to be back for a while. So I think that's almost the beginning, weirdly, of like a Roman Reigns face turn of like he's having some doubt now, maybe. So I feel like those ineligibilities make sense. You have ineligibilities for injuries, which also makes sense, I think. And your former champions, we have so many new champions that they should be ineligible, in my opinion. I feel like they shouldn't be up for grabs because they're specifically to brands. So I like the idea that I can't go draft Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn when he just won, right? Like, let's let those things sit. So some of the ineligibilities make sense to me. Some of them are just storyline reasons. But I agree with you that Jay went very, very early considering you still have, like, Drew and Gunther and stuff. What are your thoughts kind of on the eligibility factor? The only thing I don't like with the rules is the free agent thing never made sense to me because that's just not what a free agent is.
That and the fact that you're building a storyline draft to pick these people. So why would you all of a sudden just eliminate yourself from contention? Let yourself be picked and just don't be a part of the show or ask for a trade. Or I think asking for a trade and then fighting, like saying, listen, I'll beat the next 26 guys. And on the 27th, you signed this contract and you trade me. I think that's better. It's wrestling. Play it out that way.
Sure.
Don't consider yourself ineligible right away. You know, I do feel like it makes sense that if you're a champion, you don't move around, right? Unless it's floating titles. But WWE has done a real good job of not having that anymore. So other than that, I just feel like if you want to not be part of a brand, fight your way out of it. It's pro wrestling. You and I can write this stuff.
I also think with so many new champs, it would just be too much. We've already seen it backfire with just the free agent stuff, right? Like with Bron Breakker, we just saw it backfire. Don't add the champions in the pool on top of that for sure.
And I'm sure they have someone who does continuity. For those of you who don't know, you know, production companies usually hire someone to continuity coordinator, which basically just looks at what's been happening and, you know, kind of like on a TV show or in a whatever kind of, so you know, they always go back and say, oh, this happened, so let's make sure. So if you have someone like Jade who just signed a contract last week and now all of a sudden we have a draft, let's honor that contract. Let's just call it as it is. Hey, she just signed a contract for a year. She's ineligible because she just signed a contract. That makes sense.
That does make sense. And those storylines went on so long with Braun and Jade. Like it was multi-week segments. So for them to just be eligible feels very silly, but we move along here. Guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. We'll also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Sean mentioned that we have our free tier and our paid tier. We appreciate subscribers on all of them. Your free tier consists of injury news, release news, anything to do with sexual misconduct, including the sex trafficking investigation. Basically, Sean has a moral compass and he feels gross charging for certain things. Sometimes behind the paywall, there'll be supplementary information, but anything that you need to know as far as injuries, releases, and anything to do with misconduct, that is on the free tier.
Yep.
You'll also get headlines of what's on the paid tier, so you can see if something catches your interest, if you feel like it's worth paying for. But there's a whole lot happening at the paid tier of FightfulSelect.com. All the scoops with all the details you could ever want scoops. From Sean, pretty much 7 days a week now. Also from Corey, who's been killing it on NXT, and even some SmackDown news on occasion. You also get me and Alex Pawlowski being incredibly silly on Monday nights, doing our Sour Graps Raw review and usually playing video games. I make him be Zack Sabre Jr. most of the time. We have a lot of fun doing that. Occasionally, Sean comes on and we end up talking about like rated R comedies from like the late 2000s or early 2000s rather.
Those
like
movies, by the way.
Just like Road Trip came up and we were talking about it for like 3 weeks in a row. We have a lot of fun on Monday night. So join us there. We also do a collision review on Saturday, so you can catch that tomorrow. And in addition to all that, you get bonus episodes of a lot of podcasts. You get Ask Grapsity. I always put over Sean's Q&A because I think it's one of the most valuable things that we have. You got a question for Sean, either get you an answer or tell you that he can't get you one. And join the Fightful Select Discord if you're sick of all the toxicity on social media.
Yes.
Discord is popping. There's an Ask SRS channel over there as well. Very valuable stuff. And just a safe place to talk about wrestling, whatever wrestling really you is. Like. It's a good environment. It's a good environment.
I'm a moderator on there. I was one of the first people who was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's get this Discord out and going. And
hell yeah.
It's a great place to just be a part of it. You know, obviously it's for Fightful Select members. So if you're a Fightful Select member, again, it should automatically allow you to go right into it by creating an under options. If you already have a Discord, you can connect it. If you don't, you just create it. It's a really great place to be. I'm not on Twitter anymore as much as I used to, but I am on there because just the level of toxicity has been beyond zero. Yeah.
Beyond
on there, not on Twitter. Yes. On Twitter is just I can't. It affected me in a way where I just like I didn't know. Sure. What to think anymore. So I'm happy to have people like all of you here in the chat that are there.
Hanging out.
And finding ways to hang out, man.
Yeah, being normal. We also thank Mike Straw Media. normal. Close to normal. Not weird at how they treat people.
We watch pro wrestling. Are we normal? I want to get slammed.
Normal to each other. Normal to each other, at least. I love that. But Mike Straw Media, a huge help in getting us set up there, helping other people who haven't been able to figure it out get set up there. So we appreciate his help. And if you have any issues with it, Mike Straw Media on X, he can help you out. But we're moving along on our episode of SmackDown here, and we get to Bron Breakker spearing Cedric Alexander to death. RIP Cedric Alexander. this is like another super squash with an incredible spear. You know, he got drafted really early. We're going to talk about it in a second. I was kind of hoping he would come up as a tag team with Baron Corbin. Mm-hmm. This feels like he's going to be a single star with him going this high. But let's dive into round two, and I'll let you give your thoughts on the extensive match as well. But Michelle McCool and Tori Wilson come out for the third pick of SmackDown and the number 5 overall in the draft, being Randy Orton. So he's sticking around. And they sneak Bron Breakker at number 6, the third pick for Raw. Hate that they had a multi-week storyline about him signing on SmackDown just for him to go to Raw, but they could use some singles juice over in the men's division, a little bit of new blood on Raw. I think that's a perfectly fair call. And I liked what commentary did say, you know, you lock down a guy like Randy Orton, you want to keep a guy like him, you're at risk of losing a guy, a future star like Bron Breakker here. Kind of nice to speak to the generations of current and future products with this. Any thoughts on that very quick Bron Breakker match and our picks here?
No, not really. I mean, not a lot of things happening, especially with these picks. So nothing that excites me, unfortunately.
There was kind of one in each round, like Kiana James, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes. Like there's kind of one, but nothing monumental from
right. Yeah.
So we move on from there. To what?
If you told me the Tribal Chef was going to NXT, I'd be excited. That would blow my mind. I would watch NXT every Tuesday.
There you go. There you go. We also get your fourth pick from SmackDown and number 7 overall being Nia Jax, which that I think is a really good move. I think Nia moving to the SmackDown division is a good call. She's kind of worn out her welcome on Raw in that she's taken a lot of high value losses in key spots.
Yeah.
And I think if she comes to SmackDown, you can see her pick up some better booking and some wins. And then Liv Morgan sticking around on Raw, which is no surprise there. She's mm-hmm. going to chase Becky around a little bit for that title. My guess is she wins it at SummerSlam. I'm very happy about Nia going to SmackDown. I thought that was the healthiest switch that we saw here.
Sure.
Any thoughts on those ladies?
I love Nia. I love the fact that, you know, I know so many wrestling fans are weird. I don't care what they say, but I only care about what we think here. And right now is I love Nia. I want her to, she's in a division. If you're going to keep Bianca and Jay together, that you can see these larger than life women beat the crap out of each other. I love it. I want to see it. Give me more of it. And I just, it makes SmackDown and once again feel strong. SmackDown to me has been the A show for the last 2 years, and I love it.
I would say that I actually don't love Nia, but this is my favorite work that I've seen her doing, and it's the most I wanted to see her. She definitely has the size and strength advantage. I feel like they used that as a crutch previously a lot. Seeing her lean into the power submissions is way mm-hmm. more interesting to me. Like, this is by far the most interesting version that we've gotten of Nia Jax so far, so I'm very encouraged by that. But before that, she was not my favorite. This has been really wonderful work, and I think on SmackDown there's hopefully a little bit more breathing room for her to get some important wins. And they've done a good job of making her feel important on Raw, but she's taken really important losses along the way, so this might be a good reset for her. So we move on to Nick Aldis in a confrontation with Paul Heyman. He says, "Listen up, Paulie, all right? Losing isn't the only thing that comes with consequences around here. And panicky Paul Heyman in this area. You have your Cody crybabies. You got panicky Paul over here." Goes to meet Solo Sikoa at his limo. And Solo is pissed that Paul Heyman isn't there to get the door, because chivalry doesn't end with Roman Reigns. Okay. Get the door. Pay for my dinner. And he says, "Well, we got drafted, right?" And Paul Heyman says, "Not so much, because Roman's gone, and with new members coming in, people really don't know what they're getting." Mm-hmm. And Solo is livid. If you're a draft day fan, I say it's very Bo Callahan of him to think that his stock is higher than it is. But Kevin Owens making the save here, which I thought was an interesting thing. Yeah. He recognizes that this is not Paul Heyman's fault and that Solo Sikoa is off the rails. Solo wants Heyman to repeat what he had said about them not knowing what they're getting. Owens coming in here for the save with Tango and Solo attacking Owens from behind. And we get this interweaving segment, and this one I'm not sure worked. I appreciate how much more refreshed a lot of the production is. This continued brawl felt like it swallowed up the women's segment to me, because we have Bianca coming out. She's your number one draft pick. She's a huge deal. She feels like a star always. She says that she hopes Jade gets signed to SmackDown really bad, because Damage Control is falling apart piece by piece, and the final piece is getting those tag team titles out of their hand. I think they win them at Backlash. And out comes Damage Control, and then out comes Jade, and not a lot happens, right? We just get this kind of standoff here. And then you get Tonga Leon. What am I saying? MFT. Tonga and Solo. I keep saying Tonga and Solo at once. We're going to go with MFT.
Sogan.
They are brawling. MFT and Kevin Owens are brawling on their way to the ring, and then Solo follows suit, and then Randy Orton enters. So there's a lot of moving parts here. I love that they're trying new things, and I love this refreshed approach. This one felt like too much, because you had essentially a bunch of entrances happen in a very small amount of time. You had, it went Damage Control, Jade, Kevin Owens, and Toa, and then you had Randy Orton come out as soon as his music hit, and it felt like the women's segment got eaten up and it was just a lot of chaos. So I appreciate the attempts, and I like the refresh production so much, but this just didn't work for me. What were your thoughts? I loved the backstage stuff, but coming out to the ring felt like it lost a little something. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting them to bring it, to continue it out there. I mean, it was really funny to see them just dive right out from backstage. And
I do this all the time. I'm sorry, Tama Tonga and Toa Leona. I always, because I was in so New Japan world for so long.
All right.
My apologies. Okay, this is why we call him MFT. I don't get my.
It's he's my called TV my TV family Tonga train. What is it? Something. Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that they're just beating the crap out of each other throughout the entire arena. They spill out into the front. But I should have not taken away from the ladies. It should have maybe segmented it where they walk off. Maybe you go back to Corey and Wade, and then you hear, oh my God, what is happening? And then this is me, my producer brain, thinking you have a cameraman running towards the front because there's no camera there. And you see these two brawling, and then you see everyone else come in, right? So you kind of now, for us as the television viewer, you're building this suspense, and this is big. Like, they're beating the crap out of each other. He had them bloodied last week. He wants payback, you know? Instead, it kind of just, like, unfortunately, toppled the ladies, you know. Yeah. and it went through that and it kind of just became a big mesh, and then everyone's in the ring, and there was a point there where Tonga looked like he kind of got dropped on his head and looked a little woozy for a minute in the ring, and I don't know whether he played it really well or maybe he just kind of was like, he even shook his head like, oh shoot, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, he felt hard, you know. Other than that was it. Like, I wish they would have changed it up a little bit. That's just me, armchair quarterback from home. So,
no, they've tried so many new things, and like 90% of them have worked. This was one that didn't.
Sure.
That's it. But continuing to send this down the mountain toward backlash, some good stuff happening here. Then we get to round three of the draft, and we have the Dudleys who are here. We get LA Knight going to SmackDown, or staying on SmackDown, for their fifth pick and their overall number nine pick. And Ricochet for Raw's number nine, five pick and overall number 10 pick. Ricochet, I said, was my favorite because it was a surprise to me that he was drafted this high. And I'm hoping that means a renewed creative focus for one of the best wrestlers in the world. I simply don't understand why you wouldn't look at that guy and be like, I should make $1 million with him. Look at what he can do.
Sure. Yeah.
So he was kind of my biggest surprise of how high up he went. And I hope that's symptomatic of things to come. I think, you know, keeping LA Knight there makes a lot of sense. Again, not exciting or surprising, just kind of sticking around. And then SmackDown selecting the Bloodline to stick around, which was Solo Sikoa and MFT. And Paul Heyman, can't screw it up if I go with the MFT moniker. And Sheamus sticking around Raw. So three people staying put, but Ricochet made me very, very happy. Or I guess everybody's staying put in that round, but Ricochet going up earlier, I'm hoping means some creative wherewithal. Any thoughts on those?
No, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. And, you know,
everybody's staying put. There's not really a lot to say.
spoiler alert, they tend to keep the families together. Yes. So Ricochet staying with Samantha on Raw, and then, you know, Andrade coming over to SmackDown, you know, and staying there. You know that his wifey's going to be there, so that kind of eliminates that, you know. So, yeah.
Agreed. Some good stuff there. Makes me happy.
Yeah.
Keep couples and families together. Make their lives easier. There's no reason.
Jay and Naomi are together, right? Did I say is Jay?
Jay and Naomi is. Okay, we don't know where Naomi is, but we can assume.
Speculate if you keep families together.
Yeah, exactly.
Scoops Cardoza. I'm giving you the scoops here on a Friday night into Saturday morning.
Well, here's a scoop of women's wrestling for you. We get Tiffany and Naomi in a fun match. That I didn't love the ending, but I get it. This is kind of like last week where it ended in a DQ, and I was like, I don't love it, but I get it. A little rather rinse repeat, but some good chemistry here. I liked when Naomi hit her version of the Heat Seeker. I always forget the name.
Yeah.
But a diving split legged attack right on
it.
Yes. And I loved her posing going into break. It was a fun way to go into break, and a little teasing of Tiffany, which I thought was fun. But the ending here, we get a double hair mare and Naomi getting a nice kick to the head and a corner bulldog, and Nia Jax showing up to attack Bayley, who's on commentary, and Tiffany Stratton avoiding some offense, and Jax shoving Naomi into the ring post at the end of the match to set up a multi-women match for Backlash, which I think is good. We get the DQ from Nia at a prettiest moonsault ever from Tiffy, so your kind of takeaway is Tiffany standing tall. I think it's good that she's getting in the very important mix very early because the crowd has caught on to her. But I really, really liked what we got here. That's not true. I didn't love what we got here, but I did love Nia immediately getting involved, and I love what it ended up with, even though it wasn't my favorite route to get there. I like that there's a lot of women that feel very important.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think this is good. The chat pointing out that Jimmy is married to Naomi. Jay being on Raw makes sense. Naomi sticking around.
There you go. Yes. Sorry, I get confused.
Jimmy would make sense because Jimmy's got some work to do, I think, yes, with this new bloodline. So, yes. But our thoughts on our women's match here.
I like the interference. It did not feel like out of place. You want to establish that now that Nia's here, she's going to beat the crap out of people, which is great. And then, you know, what's her name? Tiffany pretty much showing dominance, you know, like I can take on both of you and look, you know, I don't care who decided to come in and whatever was happening outside the ring. You know, I just, That moonsault, she hit it perfectly on both of them too. It was really nice to see, yeah, how perfect she does that. And seeing her now on SmackDown more often than I was watching NXT, it's really cool to kind of just see her in the ring. And her progression's really good, man. She's just, her ring awareness, she finds the camera, man. She's good.
She's really good. She is someone that you saw the pieces coming together week over week on NXT.
Yeah.
In NXT, it felt like we saw Trick Williams flip a switch and it all came together. But Tiffany, sure, you could kind of see everything pull together. And it was really rewarding. It was really rewarding, yeah, to watch. Well, set up this multi-women match for Backlash. Mm-hmm. If I had to place my bets, I would guess that Bayley is going to win. But maybe I don't want to bet just on outcomes. Maybe I want to bet on all sorts of silly stuff. But maybe I want to make educated decisions. And maybe I want to go where betting lines open the earliest, and I just want to know where I can go to do such a thing.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best, from cutting edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. betonline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
BetOnline.ag. We thank you for their support. We thank them for their support. I think you should go to BetOnline.ag. There's some really interesting prop bets over there. There was some interesting bets on if Pornhub was going to get banned in Alabama. There's a lot more than wrestling bets over on BetOnline.ag. Great support of the show. Same deal as NordVPN, a big investment in us. So please head on over to BetOnline.ag and let them know you found out about them through us. Coming down the home stretch here in the back, we get a quick vignette with, or backstage, not even a vignette, with B-Fab and the Street Profits, and they've got a tag title match next week. And they say it doesn't matter where they get drafted because they're going to win those titles and come right back here. Waller and Theory show up. There's a bunch of talking, and Bobby Lashley shows up, and then Theory and Waller make fun of the Bengals just to get to Sean. I think they were like, oh, cool, Sean's going to be here because the show's in Cincinnati. And he was like, actually, got some things to tend to at home. And Grayson Waller said, I'm sideswiping the Bengals then just to get under your skin, Sean Ross Sapp. But the Street Profits versus Grayson Waller and Austin Theory should be a good match. I'm assuming our champions retain in that. But nice to see the Street Profits getting some fire lit under them again. Desperately needed. Nice to see their personalities back in this. Like, it felt like they were like heel guys. And then when they turned back face, they never got to be themselves again. This feels like we're fully getting that back. Basically, since Mania, we got to see them show up on the way there a little bit. Nice to see Montez being Montez, who we adore, in this backstage. Not a ton to talk about, but anything you want to add?
No, just hoping that they get back to tag team prominence, you know?
Me too. I'm glad that they're even just getting the title shot because they deserve to feel important. Going back to our women's division, Ryan Cecchini says, pumped for Kiana, need more women's heels. Yes. So Kiana will add a lot from a work rate perspective. She is stronger working heel than face. I'm intrigued to see where she enters the picture. She's someone that got called up. I was excited. I hope that they have a plan for her. She's one of those ones that I was like, don't let her just come up and waffle around, because we've seen that happen before. So very excited for her. She has, as Alex Plowski said earlier, she's run the course of what she can do. If you're not going to belt her up, call her up. She's been on Main Event a few times. Mm-hmm. She offers something stylistically that's a little different in the women's division as well. So looking forward to that for sure. We got another quick backstage situation here with the Final Testament, who says, doesn't matter if they're going to Raw or SmackDown. They're going to cause havoc wherever they go. They're on NXT with Karrion Kross talking about being the last standing pillar of the black and gold brand in a very specific feud. So this drove me nuts. It drove Alex Pulowski nuts, who's back here somehow. Alex, you got to go home soon, but we're talking about like your least favorite thing on the show, which is very funny. So we'll bring him back on. But while we're doing that, Cardoza, any thoughts on this with Karrion Kross?
Karrion Kross has just felt so lost for me. God, they put him in this mega super team with the Authors of Pain, who've been signed for 10 years with the WWE, and they just happened to come back. And it just, I mean, ever since the infamous phone call with Freddie Prinze saying, hey, what do you think if I go sign with WWE? And Freddie said, yeah, go do it up, man. Go make sure you become world champion. It's been all downhill since that.
It's not a lack of repackage efforts, but there is a lack of consistent creative behind him.
Sure. And that,
pick a brand. But Pulaski's back. What you got to say?
Have you guys gone over the supplemental draft picks?
We have not. And also, Luis said that they were taken down, I think, off Twitter.
No, not that I know of. I'm looking at them right now.
All right.
Where are they?
Do you want to know what they are?
Yes. Here we
go. Yeah.
Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis continue to not debut on SmackDown. they have yet to actually have a match, but they're staying on SmackDown. Moving to Raw, where they will presumably also not be on television, the Spooky Scottish Witches.
Son of a bitch.
Ivar will stay on Raw.
Okay.
And if you were thinking, hey, maybe there's still hope for the Wolf Dogs, you're out of luck, because Baron Corbin's going to SmackDown and Braun Baker's going to Raw. So they broke up the Wolf Dogs. Just kidding. That really cool tag team they had in NXT that won the titles. Well, say goodbye to that. That's not happening.
However, very happy that Baron Corbin's back on the main roster. He deserves it.
Well, he deserves it until they don't have anything.
We're not forecasting,
correct?
Dude,
exactly.
I know.
We're sorry, but it's
the OC stays on SmackDown, including Mia Yim. The Good Brothers. They're back. They're back from NXT. Well, just kidding. They're probably still going to be in NXT sometimes, because they just do that to me, just to make me angry.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you remember how Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark have been tagging together for months now, and they were in the draft pool separately? Yeah. And we were like, oh my God, maybe they'll draft one to SmackDown and one to Raw. Well, they're just both staying on Raw. So there was no reason for them to be split in the draft pool anyway.
Continue. Where is that at? We can forecast more doom on Raw.
That's it. Okay. That's nothing.
Carol
has a very good thing. So are people not getting drafted to NXT? Apparently not. Like they said, Ava talked to Big Game, but like
they said you have to wait till Monday.
Just wait until Monday. Okay. Something's happening.
We have to wait till Monday.
Fine.
But it's just like a lot of not a lot of movement. There's people coming up from NXT, but it doesn't feel like there's a ton of momentum swings back and forth between brands.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens on Monday.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to come in and talk about poor Baron Corbin.
I know. It does bum me out because they were a really fun tag team. But
they were great. They were great. And it would have been a really cool thing to like introduce Bron Breakker to the main roster by having to be the hot tag guy in a team that is the champs by, let's say, Memorial Day and holds them through the summer, killing everybody. Could have been a lot of fun. And now it's like, hey, what if we had Bron Breakker squash a guy in 15 seconds every 3 weeks? Will that get him over? Well, we're going to see if it does.
We're going to find out.
All right.
Well, and he has lightning speed in the ring.
As steadfast as the draft rules are, I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up finding a way back to tag team glory together. But thank you for coming on and telling us about the supplemental picks. We hadn't seen them or read them yet. So
all right.
I appreciate that.
Bye. Have a good week. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. And shout out to Kenny Omega, man. Shutting down everyone on his Twitch stream shit talking Roman Reigns.
Kenny, I said earlier, is like the Mr. Rogers of the wrestling community, it feels like, on his streams. He just has this very calm and easy energy about him where I feel like everything's gonna be okay.
I love that.
So we move on to our final draft picks of the night, presented by JBL and Teddy Long. AJ Styles sticking around SmackDown, Raw getting Alpha Academy, which is currently the iteration that you're seeing kind of break up, I think, is Chad Gable and Otis and Nakazawa and Maxine. So that version sticks around. I'm assuming the Creeds will be replacing them sooner than later based on what we saw on Raw. And Andrade going to SmackDown, which makes sense. Especially, I guess we can assume that Charlotte will probably be back there. And Kiana James going to Raw here, as we talked about kind of extensively through this
episode. All the Latinos are on SmackDown.
Right now, because everybody else is eligible on Monday, so we will see. But we move on to our main events. Cody picking up the win here against Carmelo Hayes with the Crossroads. We get a post-match stare down of AJ and Cody staring at each other. Not really saying much, not a lot of violence between the two of them, which I think is fine for this feud.
Lots of love.
The big thing here is it looks like Cody landed on the pec that he had previously injured, and we hope that he is okay. Decent match. Carmelo looked good. If you weren't familiar with Carmelo, I think you got a nice appetizer about what he's going to bring to the program. So a productive loss in that sense. Made me happy to see him immediately go after something and feel important. But you just hope that Cody is okay, because goodness, if he got injured after finishing the story... I think he is too, but you just never know. You never know. There are some seemingly benign spots that put people out in nasty ways. So hope he's okay. Hopefully he's just good at his job. That is the goal. But your thoughts on our main event here?
Yeah. Again, Carmelo has been used in the main roster for these like little spot matches where he kind of shows off his, you know, who he is. And I love it. It kind of, you know, that we're obviously building up for this, for him to come up to the main roster now and do his thing. Other than that, that's it. I mean, again, from now till probably Mania, any match Cody has, I'm just there for the entertainment of it and what they're going to talk about to get to the match. I don't see him losing any match that's for that title, so I'll just sit here and like, cool, let's see how they get from point A to point B until Mania 41.
I hope it's not Mania 41. I hope that he, if he is champion going into Mania, I hope he loses it along the way, because the chase is so long that a really long title reign is going to feel exhaustive. He should drop it to Gunther. A big believer in that. He can even win it back on the way, but I just feel like this happened with Hangman too, where it was like he chased Kenny perfectly for like a year, And it felt like once we finally got to the title, I was like, I don't need a year-long title reign out of Hangman. And they didn't give us one, and I felt like that was good. Obviously, the stuff with Punk went completely haywire. But, like, when the chase is that long and there's so much buildup in that and you don't have Blue Chew, like, sometimes you just need to come down. Like, sometimes you need to have it and not let that title reign overstay its welcome. I love that we had a Samoa Joe five-month reign. I miss short title reigns because MJF's was super long. Kenny's was super long. Roman's was insane. Seth's was pretty long. So I would love to see Cody have a shorter reign, maybe fight to win it back. I don't know if they will. I think they should.
This is their golden goose right now.
It is not confirmed that he's okay. Sean's working on it. T-Sipper said, this felt like a good show, just the draft picks mostly being mainstays. We're just boring, not in a bad, but like predictable way. Yeah, they didn't really shake up a ton tonight. We'll see what Monday brings for us. Where did the NXT parking lot get drafted to? Nobody's touching that, Meat Normus. Nobody's touching the NXT parking lot. That is, nobody wants that on their brand. It'll injure all of their stars. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. We thank you so much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the draft. It's always a fun and different episode. Night two of the draft, of course, on Monday, a whole other lot of superstars that are eligible. So we will see where they come into play. But Cardoza, where can people find you?
You can find me at here on Friday nights.
That's right.
And I don't want you to look for me anywhere else. Just kidding. You can find me on Instagram at Alexis Cardoza, and you can find me on Threads using the same name. It's actually linked. So all you have to do is go into my profile on Instagram, hit the link in bio, and you can find everything in there except for my backside. So yeah, we should be good to go.
Well, then what's the point? Well, you got the clavicles in there. So
the clavicles is that's the only thing the only skin and bony part of my body I'm showing.
You can find me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can find me on Fightful Select every Monday and Saturday doing your Sour Graps, Raw, and Collision reviews. You can find me Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on the main channel reviewing NXT, ROH, which I'm searching for a new co-host for. We'll let you know where the dial lands on that. And of course, SmackDown here every Friday. Wednesdays at the Mark Order podcast, talking all things All Elite. You can follow them on social media as well. Stay tuned to Fightful Select throughout the weekend. We got plenty more news coming for you. Shout out to my internet that held up the rest of the way down the journey after it crapped out. We made it. We made it, you guys. Thank you so much. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We'll see you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.